Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I am your host, Kyle Devitt. Across the table, you know him as the man, the myth, and the legend, the Springfield College avatar of everything great at Springfield, the man who made the school, Jack Piattelli.
That's a very nice compliment. I wish I could say the same for you at Clark.
I think it's actually true, though. Hold on. Who else do you know in lacrosse media that went to Clark?
Nobody.
No one.
No. How's Clark doing, by the way? I haven't had a chance to...
2-2. Wow. Just lost to UMass Boston at home, but started the year with a win against Curry.
Great.
So that was good.
Good.
We're working our way through the new MAC.
Springfield's 0-2.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched
that. They lost
that.
To Naz and they lost
Stevens.
To Stevens, yeah.
Yep. I made sure to note that in my ranks.
Very good.
Right here.
We got a special guest today.
Yes, we do. A man that we both have a long history with for two very different reasons. Now Thayer head coach, Bill Day. How's it going, man?
It's going great, first and foremost. So thanks for having me. And you are right. Long history with you.
Yes.
And even longer history with this guy right
yes.
here. But yeah, thank you for having me.
One day we'll have someone on the podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You got to get closer.
Yeah, you gotta get closer. I knew it.
We gotta start over?
No, just pick it up wherever. It'll be fun.
Yeah. One day we're gonna have someone on the podcast that knows me more than you one day. But you know, you've got some years on me. So
yeah, that's
true. Really what it is.
And I mean that's all it is. that's all it is.
Yeah, but I covered pro. They were the head coach of the Cannons for a long time, and I covered pro lacrosse for 14 years, like 15 years, something like that. Like that was a big part. While I was coaching college, it was a wild time. You do what you can to make it in lacrosse, man. You're working for Nike.
Yep.
Still working for Nike?
I do. 13 years.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll have to get to that secret back end. I see you're in here with the Travis Scotts. Don't think I didn't see that when you walked in.
Just for you.
Awesome. So you're going to your second season at Thayer. I think expectations are pretty high given the amount of talent that you have on the team. Three kids going to Army. You've got a number of kids committed to Division I schools. You kind of inherited a really good program, and I think there's a lot of expectations. How have you kind of dealt with that to start?
Well, yep. Second season at Thayer, but really my first full year. So I came in last year, end of January, early February, so... Yep. It was like drinking from a fire hose, really, just not just from a lacrosse perspective, but also just everything behind the ISL and coaching the ISL. Season two, my first full year, really had an opportunity to go through the full year recruiting, being on campus more, really planning out based on everything we know about our team and what we're going to try to do. And obviously feel good about where we are. I think one thing I learned last year in the ISL, yeah, you just said high expectations for Thayer, but when you really look at the ISL from top to bottom, it is a super competitive league. And when you look at every majority, I would say that the you look at the eight or nine teams, the top eight who made the top playoffs last year, and then the ninth or tenth team, you have Division I commits. So, yeah, expectations, but... At the end of the day, I think for us, we want to be playing our best lacrosse at the right time of the year. We want to try to stay healthy. And if we can be fortunate enough to be in those two positions and be in that top eight, because that's at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
Making the tournament.
That's it.
Yeah.
You make the tournament and it's on, right? And I think what I learned last year and then what I, you know, the outside looking in, in the past 2 years, right? The number eight seed knocks off the number one.
Right.
So that just shows the competition right there and the level of play in the ISL.
Yeah, I don't know, a couple of years ago, they changed the schedule, regular season schedule format where you play more of the top eight teams depending upon where you land the previous year. So you don't, like previous years, you might play, sometimes you'd play St. Mark's or I'm not picking on St. Mark's, but the bottom team, but now... Your schedule is actually more competitive based on where you end up. Last year you made the playoffs, so now you're playing against those teams, the more competitive teams, more often because the season is shorter with the playoffs, correct?
Yes and no. I'm not an expert with the scheduling per se. I do know Adam White is probably the guy to talk to there, but there are pools and you play, so you will play a consistent pool. You will always play teams within your pool, and then we rotate on that last pool, I believe. So, you know, again, it's last year too, coming in hot, and I had Belmont Hill, Nobles, and Sebs right out of the gate. So that was like a welcome to the ISL for me and the staff. But this year we're a little bit more spread out. We're not playing Belmont Hill this year but yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, it's a massive league. 16 teams. It's going to be difficult to play for everyone to play everyone. That's not how that works. Like, you have to split it up in certain ways. And I would think that there would be like a power ranking of sorts to that. I think that's something that we've had Adam White on here and he's talked about it.
Yeah, and I think the point I'm trying to make is it's more of an even balanced schedule.
Right.
Right? So you're not having teams win 16-1. There you've got 10-7 scores versus lopsided scores where the games are more competitive.
Right.
Yep.
And I wanna go back to last year because you got hired, and I will say one thing about you that I always appreciated. You have such grace for media people. And I'm going to tell you why. In addition to me being completely out of control when I was covering the Cannons, I just wrote whatever I wanted and it was insane. I literally can't believe it's on the internet and it's still on the internet. I'm much more refined, although this story contradicts that. I called you when you got the job at Thayer and we did the entire interview and then we finished and I looked at my computer and I hadn't hit record. And I was like,
story.
Hey, I'm really, this says, it actually has never happened. And I said this to you and you were probably like, all right, Kyle, but it's never happened to me before. And I was like, can we do it again? And you're like, yeah. Like the sigh was actually not even that long. It was just like, yep. And you just committed to the bit. And I appreciate that about you. And I will always remember that about you. And you were like that on sideline too. Like I would literally be there with this is how old it was back in the day. We didn't have phones. We had flip cams that had a little record to do our interviews with coaches after games. And I would have to like go through a sea of people and just be like, hey, what'd you think on your face? It was like the first vlogging back in the day. And always gracious with your time. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you giving me grace once again last year. We are recording now. Yes, the recording is on.
Oh, you wanted to.
Yeah. No, we do need that. But yeah, I think that speaks to your ability as a coach. I think when you left the Cannons after winning the championship in 2011, I was always like, well, where's he going to coach now? And you went and kind of worked with Lassachusetts, right?
Yep. I was with Lassachusetts. I actually worked with the Skipjacks for a little bit, and which turned to the Kings. And then I'm Lassachusetts for the past 5 or 6 years now. So, and just to touch back on that great story, which Jack got a nice kick out of.
He loved it.
If that was me, Bill, I would have said, no way am I doing this again.
it's kind of just who I am, as you said, Kyle, but it's how I am with my team and my players and anyone I'm associated with. People make mistakes at the end of the day. And that's how we coach. No one's perfect. And we're not going to go through a season without making mistakes. That's for darn sure. So let's just move on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's all.
Bill, do you remember when we met? We met, I think it was 1993 at the San Diego State Summer Lacrosse Camp.
Yeah.
I was working at Brine, and I had a position that was open, and Billy nagged me to hire him, and I finally hired him, and look at him now, right?
Persistence.
Yeah, persistence.
It's called being persistent.
Yeah, he was persistent. we had a lot of fun. Bill was a stick doctor back in the day for Brine, but I just wanted to talk about you played at North Carolina. Had a great career at North Carolina, and then you won a championship when you were as a player or as a coach?
As a player.
Okay.
Sophomore.
But you did coach there as well, right?
Yep, coached there for a year.
For a year. And then, obviously, you coached with the Cannons. What decided, are you a little older in your career? You never pursued the college thing, which you probably could have. So why Thayer Academy?
Great question, Jack.
Someone didn't read my article. It's fine. It's cool.
I was going to say, did you read his article?
No, he doesn't read anything I write, please.
No, it really came down to the past few years for Lassachusetts. I've been coaching at the high school level, so I coach our incoming freshmen And I get them when they're just there. They come to me in the fall, and then by the time they've had a year of playing and that summer, they're just different, right? They're different from a skill perspective. They're just different young men. And I really enjoy just being a part of that, watching them grow both on the lacrosse field and off the lacrosse field, and having the opportunity now to do that at Thayer and be a part of these young men's lives, help them. It's not just about lacrosse. I mean, obviously, we're all super competitive and we want to win. There's no doubt about it. But it's there are more important things that we want to focus on. And I want to make sure that everything's balanced with them. And then hopefully the lacrosse takes care of itself. And it was a great opportunity. A very good friend of mine who I won't name on air here is on the board. I'm sure if you look at the Thayer board, you'll figure it out. But he reached out a couple of times, and because Ben unfortunately had to leave abruptly because of family things. And I was like, I'm not sure I want to do this. Time. I have a family myself. My daughter's playing, work, a full-time job. But the more I thought about it, and I think it was the third time he called, I accepted the job. And I'm not going to lie to you, and I've told this publicly, like the first day of practice, it was 30 degrees, I think. We were like bungled up in layers, multiple layers, and we're doing one-on-ones, and I'm sitting in the back corner, I'm like, and my phone's blowing up too for work, and I'm just like, what did I just get myself into?
It's huge, huge commitments to coach like high school when you have a full-time job. I mean, luckily I'm allowed to do that here. I wasn't allowed to do that at my previous job, coach and be a full-time editor or writer. And I remember like being like, I think, can I coach? And they're like, yeah, we don't care. Like, where are you coaching? Are you coaching at a good school? I was like, it's Division III in New Hampshire. And they went, oh, all right. And then we're a really good team in the Division III in New Hampshire. We're very lucky to be as skilled as we are, but the ability to combine your full-time job with your part-time job is awesome if you can make it work, right? Like it's always difficult to make that work. So you were just talking about the first day of practice last year. How have you adapted that and kind of been able to manage your time where it works for everything?
Well, first and foremost, my manager at Nike gave me the green light, which I had to make sure that was the right thing, right?
Yeah.
But you're again, it's obviously as you get older, you're a little wiser, and getting in the office a little earlier, do some work on the weekend, and then I'm back in the office after practice. But it's a nice break. That's the best thing. Like I get my mind off of, you know, the job for 2 to 3 hours a day. I get on the field with the team, and you know, like, going back to that quick story I just told you, day two, like it got really warm. I don't know if you remember this, March, and it just clicked, and I was right back into it, and it just felt right.
Yeah,
and it just felt like I belonged there, and that's what it is. It's just, you know, managing time, getting the work done, but most importantly, making sure I'm when I'm on the field and I'm at Thayer, I am given those young men everything I have.
Yeah. I think I ask because people always ask me, like, how are you doing that? And for me, it actually helps me because it helps me break the day, just like you were saying.
Exactly.
So I was waiting for you to say that. It's like, is he going to say it's kind of a similar thing, right? Like, you got to do it. I mean,
well, you don't work very hard.
What? I'm in here with you multiple times a month. I literally should get an award for that.
It should be reversed.
No,
I should be.
Oh,
getting,
really?
I should be getting the Stanley Cup to work with you.
Wow, this is brutal, man. Hey, I'm the. I'll have not only my team win the state championship last year. I was the assistant coach of the year. So relax.
Awesome. Congrats.
Okay. Yes, yeah. I was very, very lucky and very fortunate. And I love. Again, like you talk about you're talking about your kids a lot and your players. And like for me, it's I don't have kids, and we talk about this a lot because obviously you guys do, but I feel differently sometimes about my players, and I give them access to me at all times. And people are like, why are you doing that? I was like, because I care about them. I want to do the best for them. And that's kind of a hard thing that I think people don't realize about coaches that do other jobs is like, you're giving yourself to these kids so much. The thing that I struggle with is like, am I overdosing on lacrosse? Is that like, is my brain going to be able to handle this much lacrosse? And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I need the break. I need Sunday every year.
Well, The challenge with lacrosse, and Billy and you obviously will get this, but guys like Billy, it's very rare that he'll come and coach a high school team. You'll see right. like an Adam White is a teacher and coached, and that works very well for them. Mm-hmm. And the reason why like guys like Billy Day and some of these other players, my good friends like Dave Desco, let's say, and never got into coaching because there's no money in coaching, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we got to find a way to get guys like that more involved in coaching at the high school level and the youth level. So it's nice that you're coaching the high school kids, where I think you can make more of a difference from the freshman year to the senior year than you can at the younger ages. Would you agree with that?
Totally. And that's probably the biggest thing to learn, right? Is like how to, it's not just about the varsity team.
Right.
It's about our JV team and even our middle school team. How do we, the same culture we're creating up at the varsity, how do we bring that up all the way through so and make them a part of it?
Why Thayer? If Belmont Hill or St. Sebastian said they were looking for a coach and you knew somebody on the board and they called you for the third time, would you have said yes? Or is a Thayer something special in your heart for the school?
Well, first and foremost, it's about 10 minutes from my house.
Right.
So that was key because yeah. that's time, right? And then secondly, so my wife went to Thayer. My brother-in-law went to Thayer. My father-in-law went to Thayer. So it's a little connection there. I think the cards, everything just worked out, right? The fact that literally I hop on, 3 minutes to Route 3, bang up the two exits, and I'm off, and I'm at school. So that was super important, just the proximity. Because, again, like I am taking time out of my day for my full-time job, so I want to make sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think, we talked about, we did the ISL, we taped the ISL podcast before this, but one of the things that I said when you got hired there is, like, the first thing he's going to do is not fix the defense, but have the defense be on the same kind of level with each other and understand how to support and things like that. And that's not just because you're a goalie, but that's probably a big part of it. But I know that's important to you because I watched you do it at the pro level. And the other thing that I watched you do at the pro level was become one of these great player managers, right? Like, I think it's not something we talk about in our culture in lacrosse a lot. I think it's something that they talk about more in, like, European soccer, man manager, guy that can get guys fired up, the Jose Mourinho's, guys like that, that if you have any soccer background. I think that's kind of, to me, one of your best strengths as a coach that I've at least observed in the time that I covered you coaching pro, is the ability to galvanize players and get guys kind of on the same page. And I was like, well, he didn't have a lot of time to do that last year, and now you do. So do you feel like that's an accurate assessment, or do you think it's your approach is a little different?
First of all, thank you. No, you are pretty spot on, Kyle. I mean, I think people did. I was known as a player's coach in the MLL because I feel it's, especially when you don't have them as much as, I mean, the drill and yes. Jody, you're coming in on Fridays, all that stuff. But I think it's important just to get to know your players, get to understand what makes them tick, but just have that relationship with them off the lacrosse field, like I said earlier. And then, yes, defensively, I've always been a defensive-minded coach, but the way I sort of coach now, like, I have an offensive coordinator, and I have a defensive coordinator, and we all align on what we want to do, but I let them go. I let them manage their parts of the business, for lack of better words, right? And I focus on players and making sure that guys are in good places,
right.
Have conversations when need to. But I also, and I may be down and man up one day. I'll be down and man down the other day. I'll work with our volunteer assistant on some rides and clears and making sure that we're doing right thing there. But so I'm, just like any head coach, I would imagine is I have my foot in all different facets of the plan.
I think you bring up a good point. Is I truly believe that in order to be a good coach, you got to be able to delegate, right? You got to put your ego aside and say, all right, defense probably better than anybody, but I have the confidence in you to run the defense. I'm going to oversee things, but I'm going to let you go. And if I have to step in, I'm going to step in.
Yeah. That's why I burned out of college as a coach, because I was a head coach for 6 years. And I just totally was like, I'm doing too much. I'm doing too much. I'm doing too much. And it's because I couldn't give up the trust. And that's a big part of what you just said.
Yep. Bill, I think a question regards to the players themselves today versus, let's say, 25, 30 years ago. Now you're coaching players that are committed to play in college. I don't know, when you were in high school, how many players knew where they were going when they were playing? My experience was I played for the fun of the game. I didn't even think about college. Now these kids are thinking about getting committed. How do you get them to focus on the goal at hand versus wanting to get that commitment?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Jack. I think it's more about what you build. And again, it's only my second season, but just understanding and how you manage those conversations and with players. But everyone knows what our goal is, right? Everyone has the same goal, what we want to accomplish. And it all has to do with culture, right? And we started last year and did a really good job at getting our 14 seniors on board with what we were trying to accomplish. Great group of young men. But now I've all of the players that are coming up now are really bought into what we're trying to do from a culture perspective. And I think when a player steps on the field at Thayer, he knows that what's the goal, what's first, but what can become of that, right?
Right.
As a result of what we do together as Thayer Lacrosse. So that was a long-winded answer to your question.
That's a good long-winded answer. It's less questions we have to ask. Kyle has to ask.
Yeah, you're just here for color. It's fine. Yeah, you're just gonna pop in with something on the end. Oh, well, you used to call games, so that's kind of what you did, right? You called Cannon's games. We both did.
I did.
You called it when he was coaching.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a lot of fun.
What did you say?
I just called. There's a goal. There's a good save. There's Billy Day on the sideline. I want to know what he's talking about.
I will say, like, the thing that I remember too, just going back, we keep going back to MLS stuff. I know people are like, ugh, it's not even around anymore. I get it. I never saw you really like get super mad. Like, you're very like even keeled. Is that still happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it easier to do or more?
It's
easier because younger players, but at the same time, it's high level players, right? Even at that time, it's like, you know, screaming at Paul Rabel wasn't really going to do anything,
right?
But like having a conversation about what we're both seeing and how I, from my perspective, feel like we can do a better job, right? Man to man, and then even now, it's like I don't yell unless I'm really ticked off, and it's usually not at a player.
Right.
It's more like a ref call or something. But I just want to treat them with respect.
Yeah.
And it goes both ways with the team. It's part of our culture. And just have a conversation.
Yeah. Did the PL ever reach out to you to coach?
I had a few calls.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I heard a few things.
Yeah.
Did you have any interest in that?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
There's always an interest to get back to the high level, right? The highest level. I mean, that's watching, it's just, it's amazing.
I mean, players now even are different. People don't realize this. They're still, I'm not saying the MLL was worse, but like the number of teams now and the number of spots, you can't just like graduate from an ACC school and make a PLL team. It just doesn't happen. Like the level is high. The competition is higher, I think. Instead of saying like the level's higher, that's kind of nebulous, but like the competition for spots is so much higher and so much more fought for. What did you make of the PLL and how it's kind of progressed?
I think it's a fantastic product. I mean, whenever you have lacrosse players playing at the, you know, highest level, the speed, like I went to my first game in person when they had it at Gillette. What was that, back in August?
Yep.
And I was down on the field and I literally looked at it, I was like, holy smokes. Like the speed. And it's the same thing when you watch a football game from field level, or you notice that. But with lacrosse, it was amazing. And I was just like, they've done a phenomenal job, Mike and Paul and their staff. And I'm a big fan. There's no doubt about it.
Are you a fan of the Sixers?
Honestly, at first, no. But I think this round of the Sixers, holy smokes, goalies were amazing.
They played really well this last session.
It was I felt like this was definitely a step up from last year's event they had, and don't know why, but the goalies were amazing. That championship game was unbelievable from a fan's perspective. Again, it's the, and to your point, it's like there's so many skilled players, but just the type of player now, right? It's great for the game.
Yeah.
Was it difficult when you were with the Cannons? Obviously much different in regards to coaching at the college level, which you did in high school, to manage those egos, and how did you manage those egos?
I think when I first started coaching, I just came off of playing. So that was a little, that was challenging, right? Because here I was, you know,
teammate.
Playing in the locker room together.
Having a few beers.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And so it took a couple of years to really work through that. When I always say when the year we won it, we had some good teams and unfortunately fell short. But the year we won is when I really took that next step, I feel, as a coach and really separated myself and made some decisions that
were tough. Probably wouldn't have made earlier.
Exactly. But
what you got to do.
You got to do it. And it was it worked out. So
you mentioned business. It's a business.
Yeah.
And in order to be successful, you got to make tough decisions.
Yep.
And having that separation, you were able to make those decisions.
Spot on.
I think everyone that knows who you are, has followed your career at all, knows that you're a goalie. Goalie first, always. Why are you a goalie?
Well, can you correct him? I mean, yes, people know me as a goalie, but he hasn't seen me shoot, has he?
this guy can play the field.
No, we played against each other in O'Neill.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but
Billy could have played in the MLL probably as an attackman.
No, I know, and yeah. I have a story for this. So you told your first when you met him the first time. You don't know this. I met you when you did Cardigan Mountain Camp, and I was in high school, and he had a challenge. The challenge was put up your stick and see how many times I can get it in your stick without you moving. And he would challenge the other campers, and you did it like 6 or 7 times in a row. You did it. And I was like, he's a goalie. He's not going to do it. And then you did it with a short stick that wasn't even yours. You like grab some kid's stick and you're like, hold it up. Bang, 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 bang. I was like, oh man, I can't do that. That's wild. Yeah, I don't think you remember that. No, but I first met you.
I remember Billy winning fastest shot contest.
Yeah. Brian days.
Yes.
Yeah, Timmy Sudan.
Yes.
Yep. I was 105. He was 103 or something like that.
Wow. Shout out Sudo.
See that? Goalie shooting 105.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
What was the fastest you ever shot?
25? Recorded? 30? Recorded?
95.
Yeah. Come on.
Wow.
How about you?
96.
I hate you so much. I hate you so much. Oh my God. You never even got it measured. Well, they didn't even have that.
Jack was an inside finisher.
He's a feeder. He had ability. Yeah. I didn't. I'm just a kamikaze.
I'm glad
idiot.
You finally said that.
Yeah, no ability. Everyone knows. Everyone knows.
Dave, my producer, he finally admits he had no ability.
I did score against your team 3 times in a row on the same defender. And then you switched defenders on me. That was fun. I did a face dodge every single time and it worked. But yeah, no, I think just going back to your not just being a goalie coach, I think now Tillman has made it almost acceptable to be like a goalie and like a very successful, highly rated coach. But I think like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I think goalie coaches were like, oh, how can a goalie coach every position? I do. No, I had conversations about this. This happened.
Yeah.
But I think you were one of the guys when people brought it up to you and Steve Kudelka were the two guys where I was like, well, it doesn't matter because they actually see the game totally differently from us, from if you play a different position, because you see the whole game because you're in the cage seeing everything from a totally different angle than people playing different positions. So do you think that actually helped you kind of develop and make your style a little bit more to get like different, I think, than most people would?
I mean, yeah, I whenever, like you said, when you're playing goal, you see the game from a different perspective. There's no doubt about it. And I also, I feel like playing other positions too helped. Mm-hmm. Like I started off as a middie. My sophomore year in high school, I played a little LSN. I didn't get in the field much. And then switched to goalie, and then played midi while our backup, while our starting goalie was goalie. So I've played different positions, but yes, I do think having a playing goal and having a different perspective of how you see the game being played in all different positions certainly helps.
Yeah, you're the only position that actually watches the game.
Yeah,
exactly. You actually watch
you
the
see
game.
Everything.
You see everything.
Rides, clears, defense, off what your offense is doing. You're yelling like, no, you, when you're down there. And yeah, so you come off the field and you're like, hey, maybe you should have. I mean, you see it.
And I think the difference, too, today is back, I don't even know if you had it when you were in college. I'm not trying to say you're that old, Billy. I get at least 10 years on you. But goalies are required to watch film now.
Yeah.
Right?
Before, it's just stop the ball and clear the ball. Yeah.
They were just throwing the goal.
Yeah.
And goalies, they threw the fat kid in there, right?
Jesus Christ.
Did you just say that? No. Well, yeah, stop the podcast.
We can't stop that.
All right. No. Try it again. Try it. You made a good point. Try it again. Try it again.
All of a sudden, they're calling. All right, we got to get this podcast off the air.
Oh, my God. Why are you doing... Bill, I'm the voice of reason. Can you believe that?
He can believe it.
No, he can't. Trust me.
No, but back in the day, they would... most cases, throw a guy who's not going to play on the field, they'd put him in the goal. We need a goalie. You want to jump in goal? And then we get bombarded with shots.
Yeah.
And he never wants to play again.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
You're talking to someone that tied his brother to the goal so I could take shots. Like,
yeah.
I tied his feet to the goal. It's like, you can't leave.
But I think Bill brings up a very good perspective, is that you learn a lot in the goal. You get to watch the offense play every position, LSM, faceoffs, offense, how your defense plays. And so from a coach's, I think it's probably the best position to become a coach, but it was frowned upon.
Yeah, I don't think, well, my point was, I don't think it's...
Well, I don't know if it's frowned upon, but you didn't...
I know what you're saying.
You know,
yeah. Now it's not. My point was, I think it was more unorthodox for that to happen. Yeah. It was less common. And now it's kind of like, oh, you're doing a good... You see it differently. And that's the thing that everyone's chasing in all sports now, is like, how can I look at this from a different... How can I see it outside the box? How can I, you know, adjust how I coach?
Here's an analogy. How many times have you seen a field goal kick in the NFL become a head coach in the NFL?
Is this a face-off dig? I'm not sure where you're going.
No, I'm just saying that the perception was, if you played attack or midi, you were more qualified to become a head coach at the college level.
Yeah.
I think it was more a perception thing than an actual thing.
Well, I think they're the root of that is the position that if you learn the game best, I think, when you're young, playing midfield. Because you play offense and you play defense.
I couldn't agree more.
And then you find another place to go. Like, if I have tons of new kids that join my team every year. I'm also the JV coach. I'm the assistant coach and the JV coach. So if a kid doesn't know what he's doing, I'm just like, well, you're going to play midfield. And they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, you run this way, you run that way. You come off when you're tired. And you don't come off when we are going back on defense. Like, that's it. That's all. That's my only instruction for you. Because I think you learn where to be when that happens, right? Like, it's like three instructions for a kid who's never played before. And it's like, you're going to try it out in practice, see how you do. And then the kids that really are into it will ask questions. And that's kind of how you can build, like, because people, I don't know anyone that's played lacrosse that has been like, I hate lacrosse. That's my argument for getting everyone to play lacrosse, is like, if you play it and you hate it, tell me, because I don't know anyone.
And I think the great thing about playing midi, Billy, is, and I played some midi too, you played both position, attack, midi, but an appreciation for the ball. Like, when an attackman gets lazy and throws a ball out of bounds, the turnover, now the midi's got to run all the way back on defense. Yep. If the attackman had to run all the way back to the defensive side of the field, he's going to pay a little more attention and not throw that ball out of bounds.
Or he played at Clark and he had to do it anyway. Like me. It's fine.
Bill,
made the joke for you. You're welcome.
You've played against a number of great players in college, professionally. You've coached against a number of great players in college and lacrosse. Name the top five players in college you played against or coached against, and the top five players you played against or coached against at the pro level.
Wow. How long do we have?
We got 10 more minutes. Let's go.
Oh, man.
That's the best question you've ever asked in the podcast, by the way. ever. Two years.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding. I'm still, look at my face. I'm serious.
I'm still. I'm still waiting one from you.
All right, Gary Gate. It's got to be one. I mean, he's just not because of what he did for the sport of lacrosse. When if you watch him play, he's just playing against him was insane. I mean, shot the ball so hard. He was so very deceptive when he shot.
You would have played against him in college and pro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That shows how old I am. But
that must have been fun.
It was amazing, actually. When I look back in and like it was so much fun. So much fun. Okay. Clock is on. I mean, not someone who I competed against him, but he was in the opposite goal. But Scott Bascalupo from Princeton.
Sure.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal goalie. When you're a goalie, you have so much respect for the opposing goalie, but you want to go out and you want to beat him. You want to outshine him.
Sure.
Right? So I think the more I think about your question, Doc, Sal, like I had some of my best games when we were competing, when I was competing against them because I felt like I needed to elevate my game to outshine you know, him.
It was a great motivation.
Oh, totally. I've had some great games playing against those guys. And then from a coaching perspective, oh boy.
Paul Rabel's got to be up there.
You mean have players I have coached?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, other coaches.
Yeah, all coached against.
I mean, Paul, Kyle Sweeney, Ryan Boyle.
Yeah.
Ryan was like another coach.
Right.
All on the cover for my first story ever.
I mean, he was just such a, he was a processor, and we'd have some great conversations. And
it's incredible at calling the game.
I'm sorry?
I'm not surprised at how good he is at calling the game.
I know. He's very good.
He's the best. I think he's better than everyone else.
I couldn't agree more.
He's just the best.
Well, he calls the game.
Yes.
And that's what you want. You want somebody to call the game, not talk about the life outside the game.
Right.
I probably have to say these two just in case they watch.
Yeah.
Sean Morris and Dave Evans. Dave was a great teammate for the Cannons.
And Jack Bedelli.
And then, did we play?
No, just club stuff and tournaments and all that.
Jack Pito. All right. But yeah, I mean, I've coached so many players and played against. That was a hard question, but that was a good question.
Thank you.
Made me think.
Who was the toughest guy you ever played against?
Well, when you say tough,
like
I mean...
Because you're a goalie, so you're not really playing against them.
So I'm not I'm not going against a tough defenseman.
Who was one of the nastiest players you ever coached against or played against?
Oh, I know that. I know the answer to this.
Really?
Yes. Coached against, I know it.
Nastiest players ever coached against?
It's two people. They're both on the same team.
Rochester Rattlers?
No. The other one. You know it.
Tim Soudan?
No.
Brian
Spallita and Polanco? Come on. You're going to tell me it's not those two?
Yeah, they were 3 and 4. I was thinking more like Reggie Thorpe. And,
oh, God, yes.
Gosh, was he freaking
tough. I played
off.
Against him in a box tournament once, and he's like 20 years older than me. He took one check. He broke my arm pad.
He was.
With a short stick.
He just looked tough.
Yeah.
You look at him like, I don't want to go against him.
Yeah. He looked like he would just fight you after the game. Like, awesome guy, actually, off the field. I've talked to him a bunch of times off the field.
Kyle, would you ever get on the field with him?
I have.
Oh, you have?
It wasn't just that box. It was Placid, too. Like, he hurt me every time I played against him. Him and Jed Raymond are the two guys that hurt me the most when I played lacrosse. Like, literally, like, I don't want to. You know, like when you're an attackman, it's like, all right, do I want to take 7 checks in a row or pass the ball? Well, I think we'll pass the ball. There's too many guys that have that effect on people, but those two, Jed Raymond, who's the head coach at Hobart, those two guys.
Greg Raymond, Greg Raymond, sorry.
Yeah,
yeah.
They should have come out with Spallina arm pads for guys to wear, right?
Yeah, I mean,
he beat up on your arms.
I can't believe his nephew is the best player in college lacrosse.
So
wild.
Spallina and Polanco, I see him every summer, every fall, because you know we're all coaching on the club circuit. And that's probably the best thing, right, is coaching with the club. You get to see all these guys you played against, you competed against, you played with. Coseley, Sal, Mike Regan. We just every tournament, we just bounce into each other. It's just...
Chip Mayer.
That's great. Chopper, yeah.
The Chop, we got to give Chopper a
moment. Got to get Chop plug. I saw him. I haven't seen him recently, though. 2 years ago, I saw him. I haven't seen him since on the...
great player at North Carolina.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what my favorite thing about that is? Being the guy that wrote about those guys, that they all hate me, and walking up to them and being like, what's going on? Hi, I'm here to cover your team. And they're like, oh, my God. Why? You know, specifically Millen. Had that experience with Millen, and I was just like, what's up, man? How are you? And he's like, I love that. It's my favorite thing in lacrosse. It's the best. It's the best. We don't have that.
Bill, talk a little bit about how you got started with lacrosse and who was a great influence or some of the influences you had growing up that got you to where you are today.
Started playing lacrosse in eighth grade. So I was a late bloomer. There was no such thing as club lacrosse.
Right.
It was just town.
Where'd you grow up?
Long Island, Huntington, New York. Actually, a person you just spoke about, Mark Millen.
Yeah.
He and I played Little League Baseball together.
Wow.
And he threw me a hanging curveball, and I jacked it over the left field fence.
Nice.
I just had to put that on, because in case he watches it, he'll remember it. But he actually gave me my first stick and got me to come out for our eighth grade middle school team at Oldfield Junior High. And that's when I started. And back then, I was a Carolina guy only because both of my parents grew up in Carolina. So Barney Aburn was in goal. We had the Seivolds, Davey Welsh, Chris Walker in defense. But I also love Hop. Brian Wood, Craig Bouvier. Man, Woody could shoot the lights out of the ball, you know. So that was sort of like the era. And then, you know, Army. I watched a few of their games. We actually went up to Army as a high school trip. And that's where I fell in love with the military academy as well.
Some of the coaches you played for, have you taken away what they've taught you or what their philosophy, technique is with your own coaching style today?
Yeah, I think you always take a little bit of something from coaches you played for, coaches you've coached with, and then you just morph it into your own, right? At the end of the day, that's what's made me successful, I feel like. But yeah, you do pick up things from different coaches you've been with. There's no doubt about it.
Willie Scroggs.
Oh, Coach Scroggs. Coach Scroggs. Like, so Coach Scroggs would never yell at players. He would just turn around on the sideline, and he would yell at everyone who wasn't playing. So as a freshman, yeah. I'm like, wow, I'm not on the field though, Coach. Yeah. Why yell at me?
When's it coming again?
No, Coach Scroggs was an amazing mentor to me. Amazing. Still keep in touch with him too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about some of the key players for you this year, this spring, and what do you expect?
Yeah, I expect us to be very competitive. Like I said earlier, we have to stay healthy. I learned that last year. But, you know, offensively, we're deep. There's no doubt about it. Our attack, Nate, Austin Johnstone, you got Teddy Lally, Tyler Chouinard. It's a very good attack unit. It's going to cause some matchup problems for sure. And then Gus Beaudry, Junior, and then we have two seniors, Conrad Langerhagen and Finn Holland. And then we have some guys who got some time last year and got some confidence who are going to really add some depth to our midfield, which I'm super excited about. And then defensively, Chris Cabral, Jack Capadona, Tyler Quinn, and Gar Long in goal. Kappa and Gar transferred in this year. And so really, when you look on paper, as every coach does, you're like, okay, you're excited, but we all know that it takes a lot to take what you have on paper and get it going the right way you want to go, right? And then once you do that, you got to maintain it. And then, like I said, I won't knock on the table here, but you got to knock on wood you don't get injuries, because it happens.
Yeah, I'm curious your perspective on Connor Foley, who was your goalie last year, who I watched him play when he was a sophomore. The most acrobatic goalie I've ever seen in my life, still. Just the saves he made that didn't look like he could. It's not even that he couldn't make it. It's just like, oh, it's a one on none. And then he does like a cartwheel and it kicks off his foot and it's like a save. I'm like, what? That's crazy. Can you talk about him and then how you're developing Gar Long, who's going to replace him this year for you guys?
Yeah, Connor was an amazing young man. I will just start there. Yep, on the lacrosse field, you just said it all. He brought so much energy.
Yes.
Mr. Positivity. He was never, like you talk about a young man you want to lead, and that's exactly what he did. Because I feel like all leaders lead differently, right? And he led by example, always being positive, always picking up his teammates. And then, yeah, like you said, making ridiculous amount of saves that just gave us opportunities to win. And actually still keep in touch with him. I talked to Coach Daly about him as well. Gar, kind of similar. He's not, both of them are not your like step attack the ball, finish shuffling through types of goalies, right? They are sort of great position, rely on instincts, rely on just getting a foot or getting an arm on the ball to make those incredible saves. Super excited that Gar is with us this year. And we have five goalies at Thayer this wow. year. So wow. competition is there. We want each goalie to push each other because that's ultimately going to make us better.
Now, you say five goalies. They all at the high school level?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yep. How do you manage that?
Some will play JV, but they're all going to, the way we do things, we start off practice together. So we're just one team. So they'll be in drills together, and then we break off after that. So it's just, it's that camaraderie and that sort of family mentality I want.
So you lost 14 seniors or 12?
It was the final number was 14. We had one senior who left at towards the end of the season. But yeah, we had 14 seniors on the roster last year.
And I know one of those seniors very well, Tucker Janicek.
Oh yeah, phenomenal player.
Yeah, he's
got hurt. Got hurt. Came back for the Sebs game, but he was 60%, if that. It was tough. Chris Cabral got hurt last year as well. So that's the one thing playing coaching it here, and then you're at the high school level. The depth is so important. So you gotta find some athletes, and you gotta coach them up.
Absolutely. Just final question for me. You're in year two at Thayer. What is Thayer lacrosse like? What would you say your style of play is in the ISL?
We're a transition fast playing team. We want to get the ball off the ground and we want to push. I feel, and it's just my perspective, that's where games are won. 6-6, it's a shot clock. It's just like watching a college game. You're going to get some good looks and you're not going to get some good looks. You're going to get some turnovers. You're going to get some stops. But if we can win in between the lines and we can really push transition and take advantage of those opportunities, we'll have a pretty good shot.
And that's the thing about the ISL. Unlike the public schools, they have a shot clock, which is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, just a huge game changer. Tremendous. And when I grew up, their academy, because I grew up in Boston area, was known for their hockey program. Not that it isn't still good now. The ISL was, you go to ISL school, you're going to go play in the NHL. You look at all the players that have gone on and played in the NHL for the ISL, but it's amazing how things have changed at there and the number of ISL schools. Like, lacrosse has become a big part of their athletic program, much different than it was 15 years ago. It's great to see.
No, you're spot on. I actually caught a couple of our hockey games this year. Amazing skill level and talent in the ISL. But you are spot on. Lacrosse is right up there. And like I mentioned, there's so many teams now in the ISL that are super competitive and can win this thing. So it's just, I'm excited for the season. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to get out there.
It's going to be here before you know it.
When do you start?
Monday.
Wow.
March 4th. Yep.
Wow.
Very good. Yep. Well, good luck.
Full Thank 2 weeks for us.
That's Thanks great. For coming in, Bill. It's great, great to see you.
Really appreciate you having me, and you guys are doing a really good thing for the sport of lacrosse here in New England. So
appreciate
thank you.
That. Yes. Yeah.
And thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. We'll see you next time.